Welcome to Good News in the Morning. This is Pastor Juliet Schimpf speaking. The title today of our presentation is called Have a Fruitful New Year. That's right, have a fruitful new year. We're going to be looking at how we can bear fruit. And by that I mean fruit that lasts, fruit that is delicious, fruitful that is pleasing to God. And if you've never heard of God and you've never heard of this term fruit, hang tight with me. This is really relevant. Whether you're a Christian or not, today's broadcast is really going to open your eyes to setting the compass right for 2017. You know, I know so many of you, even myself, have in the past set resolutions, and the statistics are not too good about our standard resolutions. Apparently, 38% set resolutions related to weight. 34% of North Americans set resolutions related to money. And that's from a book by Stephen Shapiro. Did you know that of those groups of people setting resolutions, a whopping 90% have filled their resolutions within the first week alone? And by the end of a month, up to 95%. So I want to propose a different way to approach the year. It's not a resolution. It's more of a relationship. Let me say that again. Not a resolution, but a relationship. All you got to do is trust God, and He's going to do the results for you. All right. So in particular, we're going to look today at the parable of the barren fig tree in Luke 13, coupled with a passage from John 15. But before we jump in, I'd like to salute our sponsor for today's broadcast, Marion McGurl. Thank you so much for your generosity to our broadcast today. I'd like to invite all listeners to follow along at our website, www.gncm.ca. You'll find there notes for this broadcast if you want to follow along. You'll also find ways to donate and keep us on the air. All right, let's turn our attention then to a couple passages that I'll read from. The first is from John 15, and this is a very famous passage. This is the last I am saying spoken by Jesus Christ. There's seven I am statements in the book of John, and here's the last one where he basically calls himself a vine. Go figure. So here we are reading from John 15, and he says this, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He, the Father, cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so that they will produce even more. He goes on to say, you have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Therefore, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, says Jesus, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. That's John 15. What we're going to look at now is a living union, a lasting union, and a loving union. In particular, we're going to look at the vine, the branches, and the fruit. All right, so what's going on here in this parable? Well, it's possible and highly probable that Jesus Christ and his disciples were passing some vineyards, or perhaps the temple with its golden vine decorations, when Jesus gave this analogy of the vine and the branches. And his disciples back then were familiar with the scriptural emphasis upon vines. You'll recall that the vine referred to the nation of Israel in Psalm 80, or Jeremiah 2, or Ezekiel 19. You see, in an act of wonderful grace, God, quote-unquote, transplanted Israel into Canaan. God asks then in Isaiah 5, verse 4, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not already done in it? So this metaphor, this idea of a vine, was very well known to Jesus Christ's audience. However, it's very foreign to our ears here in Canada in 2017. Will you allow me to just put it simply and say that to bear fruit, to produce fruit, is a glorious thing that I want you to suspend judgment on and just journey with me a little bit, hang tight, and trust me that this is good news for Christians and non-Christians alike. Continuing with the theme of a living union, Jesus is basically saying this. He's saying the key to 2017 is not a resolution, it's a relationship with me. And he's saying, I'm the vine, I'm going to do all the work. I produce the sap. And he's saying, what do you got to do? You simply need to abide in me. You know, many passages in the Bible speak about this wonderful relationship. This idea that there's a communion between God, our maker, and us, a mere human. 1 Corinthians 12 speaks of the body and its members. Ephesians 5 speaks about God and us as a bride and bridegroom. And there's that beautiful picture of the shepherd and his sheep. The key word here to this living union is abide. Another outdated word for us to understand. Abide is used 11 times in John 15. And what does it mean to abide? It really means to keep in close contact with Christ. So close that translations for the word abide mean to cling to, such that there's such a deep attachment that there is no possibility for severance. The Message puts it this way. I love the translation. It says, live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. I am the vine, and you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relationship is intimate and organic, and the harvest is sure to be abundant. So, that is a living union, friends. And I want us to pause to listen to a song, a very relevant song indeed. It's called Be Fruitful by Vashon Mitchell. And when we come back, we're going to explore much more deeply how to foster this lasting union and indeed this loving union.
God has a plan with you in mind for you to be fruitful and multiply. He knows your ending before your beginning. Don't be dismayed, it's only delayed. It's not only your time, but your turn. It's not only your time, but your turn.
God has a plan with you. You to be fruitful and multiply. He knows your ending before your beginning. Don't be dismayed, it's only delayed. It's not only your time, but your turn. It's not only your time, but your turn.
It's your time, y'all.
For you
shall
come to pass.
Just
wait and see.
You'll be
alright.
This is what we came to tell you. Come on.
Be fruitful.
Multiply.
I speak blessed.
Welcome back to Good News in the Morning. Today's message is all about having a fruitful new year. And I don't want to leave you in suspense any longer about what this fruit business is all about. When the Bible speaks of fruit, we can reference Galatians chapter 5, where it says in verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Listen closely. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Oh my, what beautiful fruit that is. And what a wonderful promise that we can produce this fruit in 2017. I hope you haven't already dismissed this list as unachievable, unattainable, or if you've even convinced yourself that you don't need to cultivate fruit in these areas. Surely all of us need a little more joy, peace, patience, or kindness in our lives. So keep listening with me. We're talking about how to cultivate this fruit. A moment ago, I spoke about a living union and how it's crucial that we are the branch and we abide in the vine. We're going to look now at a lasting union and a loving union. So a moment ago, we spoke about the vine, who is none other than Jesus Christ. Let's look now at the branches themselves. You know, what's interesting is that so often we think that we are the vine, don't we? I know that I often forget that Jesus promises that he's the vine, and I somehow convince myself, I'm the vine. I must produce the results. I must get out there. I must work, 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 achieve, 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 produce, produce, produce. And how curious that Jesus comes to us and he says, listen, in 2017, I just want you to abide. Make your home in me. Rest in me. And if we're really honest with ourselves, do we really trust God enough to do the work for us? Maybe we think we're not good enough to let him do the work. Maybe we think we have to perform for him. And yet here he is, curiously calling us to receive, to rest, to trust him to do the work, to trust him with the results. So for the branches, our job is truly to sit in lasting union with the vine that is Jesus Christ. Now you'll notice that Jesus is helpful in clarifying how the vine dresser deals with us branches, in that he removes a branch that bears no fruit, or every branch that bears fruit he prunes back to make it more fruitful. Basically, a vine dresser prunes branches in one of these two ways. He cuts away dead wood that can breed disease and insects, or he cuts away living tissue so that the life of the vine will not be so dissipated that the quality of the crop will be jeopardized. In fact, the vine dresser will even cut away whole bunches of grapes so that the rest of the crop will be of even higher quality. You see, God wants both quantity and quality. You know, for years I've meditated upon what it involves to be a branch. And I've realized that we actually have to go a little deeper. We have to use some more scripture to bring this to life. And this is where I want to introduce Luke 13, which fills us in a little bit more about being a branch. It's called the parable of the barren fig tree in Luke 13, verse 6. Then Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it. But he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to his gardener, I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden. The gardener answered, Sir, give it one more chance. Leave it one more year, and I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. And if we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down. Friends, I wonder if in areas of your life, Christian or not, you're not producing any fruit. In which case, the owner is saying, it's got to grow or it's got to go. Well, I want to come to you and I want to talk to you about the solution if you're feeling like you're not producing fruit. Maybe your marriage is stuck. It's regressing even. It's stagnant. It's on the brink of divorce. Maybe your career is not going the way it should and you can't see eye to eye with a colleague or a boss. Maybe you just feel like you're not being utilized at a church, and you're just not making a hill of beans for God. Listen closely to the solution offered in Luke chapter 13. And here I'm going to reference the King James Version quote. Did you know the King James says this in Luke 13 verse 8 and 9? It says you have to dig it and dung it. Dig it and dung it. Translation, we need to pay some attention to our roots. I'm a little ashamed to tell you that I spent the first 40 years of my life just trying to be a branch and not paying near enough attention to my roots. I had a season, indeed a year of sabbatical, during which I finally paid attention to the roots. And that's the secret to having a fruitful 2017. And you know, roots are really important to God too in other passages. In Mark 4, the scriptures tell us, but they have no root and endure only for a while. Then when trouble or persecution arises, immediately they fall away. Our roots make a difference. That's why Colossians famously says, being rooted and grounded in love. So our roots matter. And so what does it mean when the King James says we need to dig it and dung it? We really need to reflect upon our root system. It's no coincidence that the tree in Psalm 1 by the river is bearing in any season. It's flourishing, and that's because this wonderful tree has roots that go down deep. Let me get really practical before we move on to our third section of the message today. For me to examine my roots, the first thing I did is I took the self-examination test at Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. This is a website you can find on the internet. You can also look at their books and materials. Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. You can take a quiz on the website, which takes 15 seconds, and it can tell you your emotional maturity. Amazingly, a lot of Christians in churches, although possessing a deep spirituality, a deep faith, are actually emotionally stunted. What's going on? Well, they haven't dug and dunged around their roots. If you have experienced an injury in your past, that would have thwarted your root system. But getting more specific, take the quiz at Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, then seek out a spiritual director. I can't counsel this highly enough. You need another voice to hear you and to correct distorted Christian thinking. I got myself a spiritual director during my sabbatical, and it was amazing that I'd say things that I believed about myself or others in my lives that when were repeated back to me, mirrored back to me, were proven to be false assumptions and false theology. We tell ourselves lies, and this stunts our growth. Some of us may in fact need counseling. If indeed we have not dealt with past traumas or past hurts, we become stunted Christians. How can we expect to bear fruit, the kind I've just mentioned in Galatians 5, if all the long or all the while we carry bitterness, resentment inside? We have to make sure we've tended to our childhood wounds to bear fruit in our adult lives. All right, on that note, we're going to pause and listen to a second song today, Things We Leave Behind by Michael Card.
There sits Simon, so foolishly wise. Proudly he's tending his nets. And Jesus calls, and the boats drift away, and all that he owns he forgets. But more than the nets he abandoned that day, he found that his pride was soon drifting away. And it's hard to imagine the freedom we find from the things we leave behind. Matthew was mindful of taking the tax and pressing the people to pay. But hearing the call, he responded in faith, and follow the light and the way. And leaving the people so puzzled, he found the greed in his heart was no longer around. And it's hard to imagine the freedom we find from the things we leave behind. Every heart needs to be set free from possessions that hold it so tight. 'Cause freedom's not found in the things that we own. It's the power to do what is right. With Jesus our only possession, then giving becomes our delight. And we can imagine freedom we find from the things we leave behind. We show a love for the world in our lives by worshiping goods we possess. And Jesus says, lay all your treasures aside and love God above all the rest. 'Cause when we say no to the things of the world, we open our hearts to the love of the Lord. And it's hard to imagine the freedom we find from the things we leave behind. We say no to the things of the world. We open our hearts to the love of the Lord. And it's hard to imagine the freedom we find from the things we leave behind. Oh, and it's hard to imagine the freedom we find from the things.
We're looking at having a fruitful new year, and we've been talking about how all we got to do is abide in God. He's the vine, and we just got to rest in Him, build a relationship with Him, and He'll produce fruit through us. Well, we looked at what it is to have a living union with Him and then a lasting union. We're closing out now with a loving union. I wonder if any of you can relate with what it says in Luke chapter 13. In the passage it says, it's just taking up space in the garden. Cut it down. Do any of you Christians feel like you're just taking up space? Any listeners feeling like you're just occupying space? Frankly, you're despairing of life. You're just a waste of space, a waste of time, and you're just taking up space. That is a lie from the enemy. And God is declaring over you right now, no one is taking up space. He wants to use you. He has a purpose for you, and He created you. So, how do you produce fruit? Well, here's the good news. For some of us, this simply means to get our hands dirty and to spread some fertilizer around. You know, God often uses as fertilizer disappointment. I wonder if you've had a lot of disappointment lately, listener. Here's how God used it in my life. I was off work for a year, which was disappointing. In the world's eyes, I was unemployed. I was not producing a child with my husband, so in the world's eyes, I was deficient there. And my mother had serious cancer, and so in the world's eyes, I didn't have enough faith for her to be healed. This was all terribly disappointing, but God used this fertilizer to nurture my root system, because I allowed Him. I didn't grow bitter with God. I grew better with God. I didn't turn away from God, I turned towards him. And I want to invite you to do the same. Take any disappointment you're going through, and like Luke 13 says, and this is the promise I hung on, it said, give it one more year. And I said to myself, God, I'm giving you one more year. And sure enough, in that 1 year, he helped bring a lot of healing into my mom's life. He led me into a new career path, and he's helping us move very close towards adoption. Lastly, for some of you, you're not producing fruit, and dare I ask, because you're not producing the fruit God intended. God can only pick what he planted. Can I say that again? He can only pick what he planted. And some of you are busy trying to produce something that God never even planted in your life. I want you to pause and reflect in the coming days about what God even wants to produce in you and through you in 2017. Are you possibly trying to produce apples when you're designed to produce figs? You want to become a church pastor on the platform up front when he wants you to quietly serve the homeless on the street anonymously? Are you up to the task? And here's the final thing to bring great comfort. In John 15, God tells us the greatest formula for abiding in him and producing fruit. And can you believe it's all about love? Jesus says in John 15, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love, or abide in my love. You know, to become a truly fruitful tree and to become emotionally healthy, it is so important to trust that God the Father is the Father you've never experienced. And you have to allow yourself to receive his love freely. And then you will bear fruit. Romans 1 talks about fruit when we win others to Christ. Did you notice in that passage that Jesus said, I have loved you with the same love my Father has for me. Jesus asks nothing of us that he has not himself first done. So loved the Father the world that he gave his only Son, and so loved the world did Christ that he gave his only life. Friends, receive that free, unconditional love, and that is the sap that will produce fruit in your lives this year. To God be the glory. Amen.